Happy Purple Friday.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, right? I like it.
Red Friday, Blue Friday. Who gives a rip? It's Friday.
That's right. Friday, baby.
Magic number one.
There you go. One game.
2 days till we get to see Wanye play left tackle again.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. James with us again on a Friday. Thank you, James.
Hi, James. How are you, buddy?
We appreciate it very much.
Very, very tired after watching last night's game.
Yeah, you stayed up for Thursday night football, right? You got to pick and choose your battles, my friend.
That's right.
Yes. Had you did me and stayed up to like the 13th inning to...
Had you done Bob, you'd have been in bed until the 13th inning.
13th inning of the Twins-Marlins game last night, baby. I'll tell you what.
Oh,
there
man.
You go. Followed by, if you can guess what sitcom I turned on after the Marlins... and Twins finished their game last night.
Are you still on Apple TV?
I'm on everything.
Well, I mean, that game was probably on Apple TV.
No, that was on, I had it on whatever the baseball package is on DirecTV, because I'm still a dinosaur with cable, because this is one of those weekends where there's a lot of kid stuff going on, so there's going to be a lot of recording and taping and looking back.
So, sitcom, is it the obvious?
No.
Okay.
God, no. God,
Frasier.
No. No.
Radio City.
Nope.
I don't know.
Right, Maude.
Oh, nice. We were just talking about mine.
I know. That's why I put it on.
I can't believe you stayed up. Like, normally you're in bed by like 8:30.
Usually I am, but last night I was down at Kelly's in Westport,
and
a nice fight broke out on the street. Some woman beat the hell out of a husband and wife. It was epic.
Okay.
I mean, it was epic. Don't mess with somebody's scooter. I'll just tell you that right now,
like
right?
Like a bird or like her?
Yeah. Like, she had a fleet of like bird scooters she was in charge of last night. And
really?
So, yeah, this guy all drunk comes at wandering out. She pulled this guy's shirt over his head, Dusty, beat him up, and then took care of his wife.
So, if you have more than like 3 bird scooters, is that considered like a flock?
I think it is. Okay. Yes, it's a gaggle of bird scooters, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm watching that last night. We're doing a fundraiser for the Westport Historical Society, right? It was great. Like, my wife's in the window watching this whole thing, giving me the play-by-play as I'm, reading trivia questions and whatnot, and having a good time. So, by the time I got home last night, you're wired, you're up, you're ready to go, and watched a little of that Thursday night football game. And the Giants playing offense is like, I don't know, like watching a high school kid try to ask out a girl or something. Like, it is so awkward, bad, and terrible. It just is.
Got that one confident kid, Malik Nabers.
I mean, now he's hurt, got a concussion after the last play of the game. Thank goodness they have 10 days off. Hopefully he doesn't miss some time. But you're right, they do have that one confident kid. He's a stud, man. 12 catches or whatever it was last night. Really good player. So then, obviously extra innings goes into that Twins, Marlins game. And the center fielder for the Marlins, I think his name was Hill or something like that, made a catch on top of his head. I've never seen anything like it. Like, this was he's in the middle of center field. He goes all the way towards right field, cuts back towards left field, flips up, catches the ball, lands on his head, and saves the game for the Marlins. I'm like, I can't turn this thing off right now, right? And so it just kept going and going and going. And then finally the Marlins broke through in the 13th inning. Mm. And because of that, the magic number becomes 1. And here we sit on a Friday with the chance of the Royals winning in Atlanta today, and they clinch a playoff spot, or the Twins losing to the Orioles, and they clinch a playoff spot as well. And I know people are weather worried about what's going on down there.
Yeah.
That storm going to be long gone by the time first pitch reaches today. So the Royals and the Bravos tonight. And if the Royals win that game and the Twins lose, or if the Twins lose, the Royals are going to the postseason, buddy. And it's finally here, right? Like, we finally get to talk about something that's been lacking on the Kansas City sports scene in 9 years. And it's amazing to see. It's just great to have this synergy going on in Kansas City right now, whether it's the undefeated Chiefs going for a three-peater. Now the Royals getting into the postseason. What a great October we have in store, right?
Yeah, and who saw it coming from this guy?
Fastball laced through the left side, a base hit into left field. Blanco's in to score. Massey rounds third. Wood bobbles the ball in left. Massey scores, standing without a throw. A pinch hit, 2-run go-ahead single. Adam Frazier comes through, and the Royals take a 6-4 lead in the top of the 9th inning.
There you go, Adam Frazier, everybody's favorite Royal.
That's right.
With the go-ahead runs there. I remember watching that game yesterday, thinking to myself, all right, 4-1. And then that son of a gun came up and hit that home run that just kept going and going and going and going. And then Garrett Hampson ran straight directly into the wall.
Yeah.
And the game was tied 4-4, obviously. Then 7-4 was the final result because Perez would put him up by 3. But look, I get it. Like, I was having this conversation with a buddy of mine yesterday about, how the schedule rounds out. Like, right now, if I'm Detroit, and I'm just saying this,
right,
I want nothing to do with the Chicago White Sox. Like, yeah. I know that sounds idiotic and moronic, but, like, Chicago just swept the Angels in spite.
Right.
Because they're like, oh, we've been bad, all historically bad all year. But what they were not going to be is record-breaking bad.
Right.
So there's somehow, in this weird, ironic way, the White Sox are playing to not be the worst team in baseball's history, but they're one of the worst teams I've ever seen. They just swept the Angels.
Right. Well, now let's talk about who they swept, though, too. A team that, like, quit on life about six months ago, right?
40 games all year. It didn't matter who they play. They lost.
I know. It's crazy right now.
So now Detroit goes and plays Chicago, or Chicago goes and plays Detroit. Royals are geared up to go play Atlanta. They just came off a sweep. I tried to tell you, the last time they had a seven-game losing streak, they won 5 out of 6. Hate them. And they just played the Nationals. Not their fault.
Right.
Sorry, that's the way the schedule works. And they sweep the Nationals. They do exactly what you want to do. What do the Twins do? They get swept by the Marlins.
Yeah.
Or I guess they lost
two out of three of the Marlins. That's a dead baseball team. And I said it yesterday, and I'll continue to say, their manager needs to be fired.
No, yeah,
he's got to go, man. No. Like, if you're an owner, and there's a lot of questions now whether these owners care about winning or not, right?
Billy Haywood.
You need to fire that guy and hire somebody else. Ron Garden hires on line one, right, for the Minnesota Twins. Get him back in there. But, I mean, that's a disaster up there. Minnesota is playing a lifeless game of baseball. Now, they did go to the 13th inning or whatever it was last night. You give them credit for fighting, you know, to the end, but their season is officially over. I mean, all the Royals have to do is get one more win, or they have to lose one more time, and their season is cooked and they're done. And they have the Orioles coming in for 3 games. The White Sox is an interesting case study because all their fans were going to the game these last 3 days hoping to see them break that record, and then they're booing their team when they win because they wanted to see history. I would have been doing the exact same thing.
No doubt.
But the White Sox, you know, they got a little jerk in them as well, because they saved their ace Crochet for this series against the Tigers because they want to see the Tigers go out there and lose and not make it, they're going to make the playoffs, but they want to see if they can upset the Tigers and potentially give them a worse seed than the Kansas City Royals right now. So that's what we're playing for over the next 3 days, Dusty, is kind of playoff position. The Royals, for all intents and purposes, unless something bizarre happens, they're in the postseason, right? And now we've seen bizarre, but they're in the postseason. It's just a matter now of seeding and where they are going to be, and you want to stay ahead of the Tigers, so you do have the Baltimore Orioles, who are, you know, came out off of 2 out of 3 wins against the Yankees. They lost last night to New York, who ended up clinching the East last night. So they're in. The Dodgers clinched the West. They're officially done and taken care of. But the Baltimore Orioles are a team that hasn't been playing good baseball lately. A lot of teams not playing good baseball down the stretch. The Royals haven't played great baseball down the stretch. They had the opportunity to play the Nationals, so they got some wins under their belt. And now they've got these 3 games under the Braves. You got tune-up time, you know, before the postseason, but I would much rather face Baltimore. So you keep winning. Hopefully the Tigers find a way to lose at least one game to give you a little bit of breathing room, and then we go back to Baltimore, you know, where they were yesterday in the Washington, D.C. area to start that 3-game series in Baltimore. And again, for those who don't know, there's no home playoff game unless the Royals advance out of that wild card round, whether it's against, you know, Baltimore or Houston. But I love our chances against Baltimore more than I do against Houston, because I think Houston's got an opportunity to be world champions again. They're playing some great baseball right now.
That's fine. You think Detroit peaked too early?
No, I don't.
You think they can ride this all the way?
Yeah, I think that, especially with Skubal, man. Like, you have an ace like that at the top of your rotation. You can figure it out. So, you know, Skubal is legit. So, no, the Royals, this is the weekend where I really find out what the Royals are about, because this is going to be legitimate playoff baseball in Atlanta. I was talking to a baseball source yesterday, and they weren't releasing their starters for Atlanta because they, you know, with the hurricane and all that kind of stuff, but I'm told we're going to see Sale, Fried, and Schwellenbach at some
Fried's
point.
Tonight.
Fried is tonight, right?
Against Singer,
right? And so you got Fried, you got Sale, and you got Schwellenbach. Those are the 3 guys at the top of the rotation, and you're probably going to see all 3 of those guys because the Braves are fighting for a playoff spot as well. If the Royals go down there and you beat Sale, you beat Fried, you beat Schwellenbach,
oh my god,
I'm feeling completely different going into next week. But this is a big test because these are the type of pitchers you're going to be facing in the postseason and the type of teams you're going to be facing in the postseason. So these are 3 big games, I think, from a mental standpoint for the Royals. And I think for a lot of fans here in Kansas City, you go down there and you wreck the Braves season. All right, man, we're having a great conversation on Monday of it's not just the wild card round. It's what can we do in the divisional playoff round and then possibly in ALCS. And so there's a lot in front of this baseball team, but I still think these 3 games in Atlanta are very important, very telling. Go out there and beat some really good pitchers this weekend.
I guess it's okay to disagree. I don't know if like it's going to give me a look at what the play. I mean, I think I already know what the Royals are. They're a team that hangs on the balance of if their bullpen is going to be able to keep it close or shut them out. Their bullpens look great. They're going to ride the stars that are Salvador Perez and Bobby Witt Jr.
Which Bobby didn't do anything against Washington, and they swept that series, Dusty, which I really like.
He had an RBI single yesterday, but I guess he didn't go 5-for-10 and hit 2 home runs and have 10 RBIs. But the thing is, this is the Royals, if you were to like have the Halloween Superstore costume they do, where it's like, Jim Harbaugh, and it comes with a pair of khakis, Moses' cane, glasses, and a hat.
Right.
Like the Royals, Halloween costume is super, comes with a superstar, a Hall of Fame catcher, great starting pitching, mediocre bullpen, random person steps up.
Right.
Sounds a lot like, kind of like 2015. Now, 2015, 2014, they had that core of guys, right?
Right.
Like, there's not really that core of guys that made it really all the way out of Omaha altogether. I mean, I know Massey, Bobby, Vinny's there. Vinny's hitting home runs off of a tee yesterday, which gets you a little, sports ready for that. But, like, I think that, like, that's what their team's going to be. And that's why I'm not really worried about who they play. I mean, give me Houston, give me the Yankees. I know the regular season was different. Look, the regular season, there is zero pressure.
Right, none.
You're seeing pressure now.
Well, the Royals aren't going to have any pressure in the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. They're already house money.
Yep.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, this is where, like, and you ask yourself, like, some teams are down the stretch. The Royals lost 7 in a row. It was a cultural shock. It was like, hey, man, we got to get our heads out of our asses because Detroit's trying to take us out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And Detroit did their job. The Royals did. Now, the Royals miraculously won 3 in a row against Washington. That's now spilling over into Atlanta. The other thing about the Royals when it moves into the playoffs is they have a three-headed rotation with Lugo, Reagans, and Waka that they're going to throw in there, and you're going to have to beat them 2 out of 3 nights just to win a series, because if you don't, you're going to get 2 of those pitchers at least twice in a 7-game series, maybe 1 of them 3 times.
Well, and then you go into that 3-game series against Baltimore or Houston, whoever it is, and those are your 3 starters right there. And then you roll Alec Marsh out of the bullpen, which I think is going to be very good. We'll find out if Lorenzen's lower body fatigue can get him out of the bullpen.
I'm not worried about that.
Can do anything. And I'll tell you what, man, like today's Brady Singer's opportunity to prove that he belongs on the playoff roster. I do think it's like for that first series anyway, for the first series of that 3-game series, because you can change your playoff roster as the series goes along. For folks who don't know, scoring at home, we haven't been there in a decade. You can change your postseason roster as each series changes. I don't know if Brady Singer is on that first postseason roster. I would rather have a bat. I'd rather have another arm in the bullpen that I could rely on. When you're starting to assemble this postseason roster, I don't know that Brady Singer makes that first round of postseason, because I don't think he's going to be needed. I don't trust him necessarily out of the bullpen. And you got 3 other starters that have shown they're much better than Brady Singer at this point in time.
Fair enough. Coming up, the national narrative is supported for me and Bob over here, Bob and I with proper English, because, well, the guys at Barstool starting to agree with what we said everyone would say yesterday. James, Bob, Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey guys, Dusty Likens here from 96.5 The Fan. I want to talk to you about something that maybe you're afraid to talk to somebody about because, well, you might be insecure, you might not want to do it. You don't have to listen to me. You choose to listen to me because you want to. And I want to help you because erectile dysfunction can cause an emotional toll in relationships and impacts a man's confidence and self-esteem, which are the true tragedies of erectile dysfunction. ED is simply a medical condition like any other. And for most men, it's fully treatable, which means you can get your sex life back and that confidence back and get rid of all those insecurities. Go talk to my people at Heartland Men's Health. Schedule a consult with a Heartland Men's Health today. Your initial visit is only $99 and includes a medical consult with a licensed medical provider, a T and PSA test, and if medically advised, test dose. And if the test dose does not work in the office, your visit is free. They have an expert staff. And if you are like a lot of men, you could be having sex just a day after your appointment. They have 3 locations to serve you: Overland Park, Kansas; Independence, Missouri, between Blue Springs and Lee Summit; and their new office in North Kansas City. So call them today at 844-447-6600 or visit heartlandmenshealth.com. And welcome back into 96.5 The Fan. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, James with you as well. Powering along. powering along.
That's what we call it, right? Yes.
That's right. Yeah. I want to get into it a little bit later, but I don't know if you watched the Oakley game. I was texting you.
Yeah, I was at my kids' cheerleading game. There was a 7th grade football game, California Trail. They got waxed. The 8th grade team's good. 7th grade, not so much. But
Yeah, they're still figuring
out. Yeah, they really are, Dusty. Yeah. You're right about that. So I was there watching my daughter cheerlead, which, you know, I love watching my kids do things, man. There's nothing better.
Do you, like, know the routines?
I do, and I do them, and she laughs, and, you know, it's funny. You know?
Right,
like, I don't know if it's embarrassing for her. I think she just, like, laughs. Like, why is my dad doing, you know, when you're up, you're up, and when you're down, you're down, when you're up against the bullpen, you're upside down.
You need to watch the movie Bring It On.
Yeah, Bring
daughter.
It On. Yeah, yeah. We'll
not
have to do that.
Not terrible, honestly.
Is it really? Okay.
It's not terrible.
All right. Is Kristen Dunst in that thing?
I think it's Kirsten.
Kirsten Dunst, whatever it is.
She might be.
I don't know why that name came to my mind.
She might be. I think she is the main character for, like, the rival school.
Okay.
Depending on who the rival is in your mind. But I've seen it, but it's been a long, long time ago.
That movie's got to be at least 20 years old, right? At least.
Oh, I bet it came out in 2001.
Oh, God.
I mean, we can look it up right now. Yeah. You have the IMDb app. All you have to do is type in Bring. It'll be like the first thing
bring
that comes
up. Bring it on, right?
Oh, it's already been barotted. 2000.
Yeah. 2000, okay.
2000.
Yeah, 25 years ago. Wow. 24 years ago, whatever.
Do you think they'll still be saying this in 25 years?
I think the more damning thing with the Kansas City Chiefs, and is the thing that's going to make people turn on them, is that the Kansas City Chiefs are just kind of not fun to watch anymore. Yeah. I find myself as a guy who doesn't really have an NFL team. I'm a neutral observer. I just want to be entertained by the football I'm watching. But boy, it's just a lot of dinking and dunking. You have one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, and he's just like hitting like wide receiver screens and like slant patterns, and it's good football, I guess, and you're winning. And it's like, I don't know, as a neutral observer, I'm like, I'm not enjoying watching the Chiefs like I used to watch them, which is going to make me turn on them, because I feel the feeling swelling up inside me that I'm going to, by like week 9, be screaming at the TV, this team isn't even that good.
He's not wrong when you look at the numbers either about that. And so our friends over at the Action Network, I think it is, send an email out every week with like gambling trends, right? And so I heard that, and I think, you know, are they highlight reel? No. Again, as we've talked about, Dusty, everybody is making their judgments on the 2024 Chiefs based on what we saw in 2018. Like, people have that in their mind that this is what this offense is supposed to be. And it's going to be that way regardless of who the players are, regardless of what the situation is. Everybody still thinks it's 2018. But Patrick Mahomes this year, the average depth of each target is just 5 yards. Last year, 6.6. The year before that, 7.4. 2020, 8.4. And then 2018, 9.1. So he's almost down, you know, 4 yards per target from where he was in 2018. Mm. So when he says, like, it's dink and dunk offense, I guess you could say it is. But that's what the talent around Patrick Mahomes lends itself to. It's all about getting the ball as quickly as possible to Rashee Rice, to Xavier Worthy, and to allow them to use their speed. Like, it's not the 2018 offense, because the folks that were here in 2018 aren't here anymore. You adjust your offense to the talent you have, you know?
Two things. Because I can already hear the text line screaming, it's Matt Nagy's fault, because you know it's coming.
Oh, well, but I mean, numbers have decreased every year since 2018.
So here's my thing. Okay, and I think James, your kid plays football, right? Like, he's learning. Like, they learn defenses, for sure. Right? Offenses?
Yeah, okay.
So hear me out, right? When you're tired of getting your ass kicked, what do?
You change.
Okay.
Yeah, unless you don't, and then you get faded away, you know?
Defensive teams or defensive coordinators are changing the game.
Right.
They're tired of seeing guys like Kirk Cousins go out there and throw for 325 yards.
You notice all the numbers are down this year.
And that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
Right? Like, guys like, and this is where I think, and this is just, I'm here today, boys. This is where I think this is why you're seeing these quarterbacks lead the league in passing. Hear me out. I'm not trying to come up with excuses for Patrick Mahomes or Kirk Cousins or Matthew Stafford, who's lost both of his number one wide receivers.
Yeah,
but here's the deal. The leading quarterbacks passing so far this year are Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray. There's another one I'm not mentioning, but it's all the Derek Carr. All these sub-3 tier quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
Because defensive coordinators are like, if they're going to beat me deep, I dare them to do it.
Right.
But you know who's not going to beat me deep?
Patrick Mahomes,
Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff. All these guys that have been the leaders in passing, and this is where there's a little bit of truth to what Kuiper was saying. I'm not saying he's 100% honest that they should stop this, ban this defense, but But this is where that defensive mindset has changed. And this is why when you look at the NFL, it's a copycat league.
Right.
Right? Like, you're seeing more defensive coordinator coaches take over as head coaches, whereas you remember when Andy Reid started taking the Chiefs by storm, everybody was hiring offensive coordinators. Now there's defensive coordinators leading the way.
Yeah.
The Bears coach is a defensive mindset.
For now, he's the coach, yeah.
McDermott's a defensive mindset for the Bills. Right. Mike Tomlin, defensive. Now, he's been there for a while.
There, yeah.
But
Robert, that Root Canales down in Carolina is a defensive guy, right?
Robert Saleh, defensive guy.
Is the guy in Seattle a defensive guy, too, if I'm not mistaken? Michael McDonald from the singing days?
I will be there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think he may be a defensive guy, too.
That's what I'm saying is, like, you look at the league of where it's – and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe these guys are just – God forbid they have an off year. God forbid Patrick Mahomes has a 3.85 ERA when he's had a 2.15 ERA his whole entire career.
Right.
I don't know. I also still think he's going to pull a rabbit out of his hat sometime soon. Everybody's going to go, all right, we're sorry. He's still that man. Could be this week.
But the goal of the game is to get the ball in the hands of your playmakers as quickly as possible. And that's what the Chiefs are doing.
Correct.
Because Rashee Rice leads the league in yards after the catch, right? And that's a pretty big stat. So if somebody's good at something, right?
Sure.
In sports, you let them do that. They used to call it let Russ cook, remember, back in the day, right?
Yeah.
Let Rashee Rice cook. Rice cook, man. And you get him the ball and you allow him to utilize his strengths. And the strength of this team right now is getting him the ball and letting him run. Do you know, and not to continue to say, you know, about Rashee Rice being the greatest wide receiver in franchise history at some point, but he has 24 receptions through 3 weeks this season.
Second receiver in football.
But that's the best mark in the history of this franchise through three games. Nobody has had more receptions through three games than what Rashee Rice has had for this team. And when he catches the ball, he makes plays and he gets big yards. So you don't need to throw it down the field.
Right.
And the other thing, too, is how many of these offensive lines can withstand defensive line pressure anymore in the NFL?
That's also
fair. I feel like, Dusty, we go into every week and every opponent, you look at their defensive front, at least their front seven, and you're like, oh my God, they got all these all-stars on this team, right?
Until you play the one this week, because their all-star is probably not going to play.
Probably not going to play, but you still have Khalil Mack, you know.
But the thing also, as the second point on Mahomes' numbers or where it differentiates from the past, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Right.
Because everybody's probably one of the greatest football games you've ever watched. The outcome just sucks. Is the Rams versus the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs set a record in the NFL that year as the only team in the history of the NFL to score more than 50 points and lose.
And lose, yeah.
They lost that game 54-51.
Still an amazing game.
One of the greatest games I've ever seen.
It's so good.
105 points on the scoreboard.
I've never seen anything like that.
All white Chiefs uniforms, all yellow Rams uniforms. Yeah. You clearly knew who was on which team. But again,
unless you were colorblind.
That was when this team had to score 35, 40 points.
Right.
Now you have a team, and Brady did this too. Except he kind of did it in reverse order. Whereas, like, Brady was the dink and dunk, methodical, going to beat you with 250 passing yards, kick a field goal with Vinatieri.
Mm-hmm.
And then he got Randy Moss and was like, here's what I can really do if I want to.
Yeah. And then you add Gronk in, and then here we go. Right.
And with Patrick Mahomes, he's kind of flipped that. And he's got a defense. And basically what Patrick Mahomes is doing is he's being Greg Maddux. He's no longer Randy Johnson, who has to go out there and throw 99 and just hose people down every single game, whereas some games he's going to go out there and his fastball is going to catch him and he's going to lose those games. He's Greg Maddux. He's throwing 85, he's hitting his spots, and he's winning the game 2-1, and he's doing it in good, fine, quick work. It's not enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
It could be boring, because if you are sitting on your couch hoping for that to happen, it just doesn't have to happen anymore,
right.
And he knows that. He knows how to manage the game, while also, when it's that time, God forbid, your team is up by three with a minute and a half left.
You're dead.
Old boy's going to come out there, and then you're going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it costs me boring takes to listen to for them to win a three-peat, that's fine.
Yeah.
If they're no longer Golden State and they're now the San Antonio Spurs, that's fine.
That's fine. The San Antonio Spurs were unbelievable. They just dominated.
They were unbelievably boring.
They were, yeah. They were, yeah.
It was so just Tim Duncan, off the glass, 2 points. Tim Duncan, Tony Parker. Oh, here's this Kawhi Leonard guy. He's fun. He's Rashee Rice.
Right.
But they don't need him unless they really want to. And it was like, oh, great. The Spurs are on TNT again tonight. This is going to suck. The final score is going to be 81-75. And they're going to win. And they're going to do it in a boring way. And guess what? We're going to see the Spurs in the NBA Finals again, because what are they? They're a complete, sound, efficient team.
Yeah.
It doesn't sell. It's not sexy. But you know what? It's true. And it's going to continue to be that way as long as this guy knows how to play football, which is going to be for quite some time.
But also, too, they're taking the high percentage shot, and there's nothing wrong with that. And it's look, it's not just the Chiefs. Did you see Thursday Night Football last night? 20-15 was the final score in that game last night. There's not a team out there that is lighting up the scoreboard. And don't peddle Buffalo to me. They played Jacksonville, who absolutely didn't show up to a game,
but they
right?
beat the snot out of
they
them,
did.
Though.
They like, did, and they should have. And yeah. But Andy Reid would never do something like that. You know, he doesn't like to embarrass.
As long if it's not silver and
it
black.
It would be the Raiders on the 27th, right? Like, hold your popcorn. A month from today, we're going to see Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs absolutely light up the Oakland Raiders.
Is that game here?
No, that's the one in Las Vegas. The one here is later in the season. They'll smoke them in that game as well, too. But there's payback for the Raiders coming in a month from today, right? But that's the way the NFL is right now. It is more of a dink and dunk type of league than it's been over the last couple of years. Mm. And that's because every year the league changes. Every year the league evolves. Like, I remember after Patrick Mahomes' first year in 2018, the narrative was, well, defensive coordinators are going to have an offseason to figure out Patrick Mahomes. It took them 6 off seasons to figure out Patrick Mahomes and to figure out how to stop these offenses in the NFL. And more playmakers are playing on the defensive side of the football, and they're making these plays. And so you have balanced teams now. You don't have all your stars, all your playmakers, all your speed on the offensive side. You've got it on the defensive side. And I believe at this point in time, with where we are in the season already and what we're seeing, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, and Patrick Mahomes, they're ahead of the curve because they started this type of offense from day one. And so, again, if you're sitting back going, yeah, this team is boring, well, this is where we are in the NFL because nobody is dominating from an offensive standpoint. Nobody is putting up the grotesque, wow numbers like we have seen in the past because teams have evolved and teams have changed. And this is where the game is right now. Once these offenses figure out what these defenses are doing, they're going to have to adjust back. It's just like baseball. You know, you come up as a young hitter, you think you're going to dominate like Keila Kaiohuwe,
Bob Hamlin.
Then you get, you know, I don't know, 100 at bats. They figured you out. You got to adjust back to the league. It's a league. It's a game of adjustments. And look, that's what's going on right now in the NFL. And I don't mind it. Like at the end of the day, it's about winning football games. And for the last generation, we've all been so caught up in our fantasy stuff that we forget that that really doesn't matter. And the object is just to win games. And the Chiefs don't care if they win by one, they win by 500. You get 5 yards, I get 500 yards. Like, it doesn't matter to them. And that's what a good team does.
Right.
They just find ways to win regardless who gets the credit for
leading the league in passing. He's got an extra game, everybody. It's Dak Prescott with 851. Then your next few leaders are Brock Purdy, Geno Smith, Jalen Hurts.
There you go. Right. And so you want to say the Chiefs are boring. No, the rest of the NFL is playing the same style of offense right now.
And I can't imagine thinking the Chiefs are boring. They won their first game by a toe.
Yeah.
They won their second game by a field goal.
Anything
from 55.
But boring, right?
Now, week three, I mean, that game was pretty exciting. It wasn't like maybe the greatest like showmanship of like, you know, Chiefs raw talent. But again, Patrick Mahomes, if he throws for 200 and let's see what's the math here. If he throws for 208 yards, he'll be tied with Dak Prescott.
Okay, that's
nothing. He's got 659 yards passing. Dak Prescott has 851.
Yeah.
So 207, 208, whatever. He could do that easily this weekend.
Oh,
and all of a sudden, we look at the top of the leaderboard, and Mahomes is now 3 more touchdowns. He has 8 touchdowns, 4 picks. He leads the league in passing. We see that narrow gap, or that gap narrow between he and Josh Allen. Speaking of that gap narrowing, Travis Kelce and the rest of the league, right now, Brock Bowers is probably the best tight end in football. He's a rookie.
Playing
all
great.
Tight ends are struggling. This was Nate Taylor when we talked about the Travis Kelce situation yesterday.
They've actually given more responsibility to Rashee Rice, right? They're actually using Travis Kelce as a decoy. I think it really comes down to two factors. It comes down to play calling, where the Chiefs, for some reason, are just not using Travis Kelce in the red zone. And then secondly, you need the quarterback to deliver the football to you on time, make good decisions, and see what you're seeing on the field when you're running routes against zone coverages like last Sunday's game against the Atlanta Falcons. It may surprise people, but Travis Kelce's getting open, and he's also not being triple teamed like, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are saying. That's not true. There are the occasional double teams, but I think most teams just realize, hey, the Chiefs are throwing the ball near the line of scrimmage to Rashee Rice because he's the best player, you could argue, at yards after the catch. So the sooner you get him the ball, the more he's going to get you those extra 5-6 yards on any route, honestly, or any screen play. It's unfortunate that Travis Kelce runs a great corner route against Jesse Bates against the Falcons, and the ball is just not there.
So that was Nate Taylor, who joins us every Thursday, talking about the Travis Kelce situation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, just... You know, it just,
I like how we call it the situation, too. Yeah. You know, like the Travis Kelce situation.
It's not,
you know?
It's not a situation that we've created. It's
no.
Just, this is what happens when you get extremely popular and you're extremely good and you play for the number one team in the number one sport in the United States of America.
Everything is scrutinized to a limit where you're like, really?
Right. And again, like, I don't know how petty the Chiefs are. I feel like there's a petty game coming.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel
I know there's one in a month, at least.
Right. And there's, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of leaked into the Patrick Mahomes discussion. Like, Travis Kelce has taken the grunt of all this national scrutiny, which is hilarious because they're 3-0 and they're probably going to be 4-0 and everybody's going to have an excuse that, well, Herbert didn't play and Bosa didn't play. They're missing tackles. Yeah, that's the Chiefs' fault.
Yeah.
And the thing that's interesting is that now it's started to leak into Travis Kelce, right? It's Patrick Mahomes. And it's like, okay, so what's your complaint? Well, he just doesn't look like he's there.
I
couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
But am I worried?
No.
Absolutely not. Would I be calling it out? Absolutely not. Is Josh Allen the best football player in America right now? 1,000% now.
Right now, yeah.
Let me know who's the best football quarterback when it comes to January.
It doesn't matter what happens in the regular season.
And let me see what the numbers are at the end of the season, because I guarantee you there's going to be at least a 3 in front of the touchdown number. I'm hoping there's only a 1 and a 0 in the interception mark, and I bet you there's a 4,000 mark on passing yards.
Yeah.
I promise you, because it's been 3 weeks in the NFL, people. The defenses are changing, and it's not just for the Chiefs. It's for everybody. And if there's one guy in one combination that can figure it out and exploit it, it's Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and I promise you it will come soon. And when it does and they find the sweet spot, they will juice that sweet spot until it's completely dry.
And they know all this stuff, too. They know what the narrative is, right, over there at One Arrowhead. They know what's going on, and they've got great offensive minds. I mean, who else would you rather try to solve a defense than Andy Reid, right? So you've got Andy Reid on your side. They're going to figure this thing out. They're going to score some points. Everybody's going to relax, and it's going to be okay.
Right.
And, you know, it's gotten so ridiculous with the narratives now about this team. I was reading something, and Jeremy Fowler of ESPN was reporting a former NFL executive has come out this week and said that Patrick Mahomes' footwork isn't any good and he's never improved it from his first season. Well, you know what? He hasn't had to improve his footwork. And if you're nitpicking Patrick Mahomes' footwork at this stage of his career, then I think you're just a hater and a loser, quite honestly, because you're just looking for things to try to nitpick when Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense is basically doing what every other offense in the NFL is doing. And again, I'll continue to go back to this, Dusty. The red zone stuff has been an issue. That is my concern. They're only scoring 44% of the time touchdowns inside the 20-yard line. You take one field goal away from every game and replace it with a touchdown, and they've blown every opponent out. And we're not having these conversations of, oh, my God, where is Travis Kelce gone? Travis Kelce is getting open. Travis Kelce is there, but this has become a quick strike offense because you've got weapons in Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy that the sooner you get them the ball, the faster they can get going and the more yards that they can pick up. And it's an easier style of offense to have a quote-unquote two-step drop, fire it across the middle, and let your receiver do it, as opposed to relying on your offensive line to hold up a pocket so somebody can get open downfield. Like, I don't mind this style of offense. I love it, in fact, because it shows that this team has evolved so much from where they were in Patrick Mahomes' first year.
Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, we'll get into why I think it could be a petty situation, which is, well, we all agree it's the best version of Patrick Mahomes. That's James. That's Bob. I'm Dusty. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, and it is your home for Kansas City sports. Welcome back into Dusty, Fesco, James, Fesco, Dusty, whatever you want to do it. Hey, phone line, text line. We need your help. So apparently I know nothing about basketball. My trash takes are flooding this guy's airwaves, and I'm getting called Nancy.
Oh, my goodness. He went with the Nancy route, right? What is this, 1985?
Well, somebody chimes in, and it's, and look, I'm not gonna be mean or anything like that, but I just want to share what we go through. It says, if I can find the thing, if it says it, it says, please, says something like, stick to your, gosh, where are they at? I don't know where this text went. Either way, just click on the thing. Here we go. So I get called basically a Nancy already, been called that.
Mm-hmm.
It says, from the 816, Stick to
it's pronounced Dusty.
Yeah, stick to football. You have horrible, horribles in all caps. Basketball takes the knowledge. I then asked, please explain. And then they said, you're the only person in history to call the Duncan Spurs years boring.
No, literally everybody has called them boring. Literally everybody is. Like, I lived in San Antonio for 2 years in the heart of that championship run, and everybody was saying, it's a boring brand of basketball, but they win. Who cares?
I'm just trying to figure this out. If I'm the only one, I apologize, and I'll make sure. So I went to the Google, right? Mm-hmm. Are the Spurs considered boring during their championship run? First five articles came up. Why the Spurs were considered boring. Why their five championships were considered boring championships. Then it says, I said, okay, I'm sorry. And then it says, LOL, trash take. That's why you guys never open up the phone lines, because you hate everyone disagreeing with you.
No, not at all.
And then you blame the text line for being negative. LOL.
If you're going to disagree, though, have a legitimate disagreement.
Don't be wrong.
And then call in, because if you're going to say open the phone lines, phone lines are never closed.
And then he says, I said, call in. We're about to come back. We are back. 96.5 The Fan, FM station. How you doing? 913-586-7965. He says, or they said, I've tried three times, and then calls me Nancy.
Right.
I said, okay, keep going. I don't see the phone lines lit. We asked James, our producer, has the phone ring today? He said, yeah, man, one time. So again, I call it like I see it. You want to call out to me, I'll call you out. I don't see my phone ringing.
Yep, nope, not it's happening. Not ringing. It's
don't
not,
see it.
No.
So if you got a problem with it.
And my phone's broken, but I can still see it ring.
Yeah, so come on.
Let's go. I mean? Let's go, pal.
So, I mean, again, here we are.
But, you know, he's sitting there listening in anger, which I've never understood that. Like, if something angers you, why continue to listen? Like, do you just hate listen or whatever it is? Like, I mean, you feel better about yourself because you're wrong? Or, I mean, like, you're just wrong. Your take is wrong about the Spurs not being boring, because they were a boring basketball team. If we called Greg Popovich today, he'd probably yell at us, but he'd be like, yeah, it was a boring brand of basketball. But it was a brand of basketball that won them. How many championships did they win? Four or five?
Five
titles down there in San Antonio.
Gotta be
because they played a style of basketball that was high percentage shots.
No, they won.
And they won games. They rebounded and they hit high percentage shots.
Sorry, I enjoyed watching the Lakers play. Kobe and Shaq were fun.
Yeah.
Hell, Kobe and Powell were fun.
Right.
The big three in Miami.
Golden State's
they
fun.
Were fun.
Yeah.
San Antonio just boring. All right. Is this our guy? This is our guy.
What's his name?
Who we got here, James?
This is Jay. We got Jay from Lee Summit.
Okay, go ahead, Jay.
This is not the guy that called you a name.
Oh, okay. You ruined it!
Man!
I'm sorry to blow it.
That's okay. Go ahead, though.
But I did just want to chip in.
Go ahead.
I'm not a big basketball fan. Very casual. Playoffs come around, you know, I pay attention to it a little bit. A
little bit, right? Yeah.
And I've always held the opinion that those Spurs teams were boring.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, you're not wrong. This guy is, he's just being a poopy pants, and I hope that he calls up and defends himself.
I'm waiting.
Like, well, he won't, though, dude, James, because you know people who do a lot of talking never call
and
in,
you're,
never
and
back
you're,
it up.
And you're proof right now that we answer the phone line.
Right.
Like, proof.
Right.
The phones do work, and it took about 30 seconds for me to get through.
That's it. It's
all
not,
right,
it's
so
not
now,
bad.
Now give us the score prediction for Sunday.
Oh. Well, you're putting me on the spot
a little bit,
but I do think they're finally going to show out a little bit.
Okay.
I'm going 31-3.
I like
it. Right. Hey, have a good day, Jay.
I'm in on that,
No, I mean, I think that could be the thing. I think they could win this game and do something like that.
This guy probably thought the 85 Bears on offense were exciting, too.
James just whispered in my ear. He said, somebody called just to make sure the phone lines were open. And then hung up.
And then hung up. So, yeah, you're a coward.
Didn't even want to talk. Just to make sure.
Cool. Uh-huh. Yeah, coward. coward, I said. Oh, yeah. Not Colin Cowherd. No, just he's a coward.
Okay.
Yes. But, I mean, I've never heard anybody not say.
Yeah.
I literally have never heard somebody say, boy, the San Antonio Spurs played an exciting brand of basketball. Like, it's never crossed my ear.
It's
just
hilarious.
I follow a lot of the sports. And again, like I said, I lived down there for 2 years when I covered the Spurs. It was my first job. They were winning championships. Not one time did people say, boy, this is an exciting brand of basketball. They said it was a very good, it was a very good, boring team that knew how to win basketball games. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where the Chiefs are right now. I wouldn't put them in the boring category, but they know how to win football games. And when you're a fan of a team, you don't care how pretty it looks. You care about your team winning games. And if your team wins ugly or your team wins by a blowout, they're still winning. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. I think there were a lot of folks who got spoiled by what Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs team did for the first couple of years of his career. But as everything, you know, moves forward and changes and evolves, just like in football, everything moves forward, changes, and evolves. And this league has kind of come back to the pack a little bit from the offensive explosion that we've seen. Defenses have become a premium. Chiefs have spent a lot of money and a lot of first-round draft picks on defense recently, too. Yeah. Chris Jones, George Karlaftis, Trent McDuffie, right? Nick Bolton,
Leo Chenault, Brian Cook.
Like, you start to look at all of the players. They're drafting on the defensive side of things. Right. Why do you think that is? Because offenses were so good, you had to start drafting good defensive talent to keep up with them, and now that good defensive talent is taking over this league and is taking over the Chiefs have not allowed more than 28 points in 24 consecutive games. If that doesn't tell you there's a shift in the NFL from an offensive to a defensive mindset, I don't know what does.
Right. So we got teammates on the text line. I agree that Spurs were not boring. They played solid all-around ball.
That's boring.
When you describe basketball as solid all-around ball, you're defending my case.
Yeah, that's boring.
And then they unnecessary shot, which I love. I love these. I've gotten so happy with these. And then, as if they think this bothers me, right after that comment, this Jack comes in with, Josh is sorely missed.
Yes, he is.
You know what? Josh doesn't miss you.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
He doesn't miss getting his ass up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And by the way,
and that's not an insult. Josh was here for 20 some years. He's missed every day. We love Josh.
And here's the thing. Josh isn't gone. He's the sideline reporter for the Kansas City Chiefs radio network that plays on this station.
That's right.
But no, we can kick that to the side and we'll get to these phone calls that are up here in a second. But I do think this is a game because people have talked about how, you know, Travis Kelce isn't the same Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes' numbers are down and, you know, yada, yada, yada. This seems like a game where it's like they could be petty for three reasons. One, they're playing a division opponent.
Right.
Two, they're playing against Jim Harbaugh, which could be like, hey, welcome to the league of the AFC West as well. Mm-hmm. This is Patrick Mahomes. Damn glad to meet you. Andy Reid, you know who I am. And then three, I'm not saying that they listen, right, that they have their ear to the wall to every single media outlet.
Oh, they do.
But they hear it, whether you want to know or not. Like, how fine-tuned they are to what's being said, as opposed to, like, them on their phone reading, like, a headline, being like, that's hilarious, watch this. Because if they didn't, you wouldn't hear some of the responses they give you.
No, they're definitely in tune to what's being said. Patrick Mahomes is very aware of everything that is going on around him. He's very aware of what everybody is saying. And you know who else was very aware of that? Tom Brady was very aware of that. The Kansas Jayhawks, when they were dominating, were very aware of that. That's what good teams do because they're so good, they always need that extra form of motivation, right? They always need to create a negative kind of aura around them to motivate them. Now, nobody thinks we can do it and all this kind of stuff. No, they're very in tune to what's being said. Believe me, I know that for a fact.
All right, we'll finish this segment up with your callers. Jay, again, we don't know if these people are going to rip my ass or if they're going to support me. So this is the way we play it. This is Fesco Roulette here real quick. That's going to be a show bit.
Yeah.
Jake, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
So I think Kelce will probably get his big game this weekend.
Cool.
And I also love that Jay called a Spurs guy poopy pants.
There we go. Thanks for the phone call, Jake.
The guy who thinks the Spurs played an exciting brand of basketball is pissed there's a 3-point line and a shot clock in the game today.
Mm. All right, we go to the most sexy sounding voice in the city. Go ahead, Aussie.
Hi, Aussie.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good to talk to you. Yeah, no, I'm one of those regular basketball fans that will watch regular season and not wait for the playoffs. I've been watching basketball since Larry Bird and Magic Johnson were playing against the plumbers and bricklayers.
Yep.
I didn't mind watching Tony Parker play, but Tim Duncan had to be the only man in the history of the NBA that had the word dunk in his name and couldn't dunk the ball to save himself.
Oh. Well, and you watch,
boring as hell.
You watch a lot of basketball. Give me a major Tim Duncan play that you can remember where you're like, oh my God, every Tim Duncan shot.
I remember him hitting it off the glass.
Right.
For two, and that was it. That right. was all he did.
That's
and it was
it.
Like, he was a robot. He was basically an NBA robot, you know?
Yeah, the fundamental.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I used to say it all the time. Like, I don't understand why more teams don't play like Tim Duncan. Like you see these guys launching these low-percentage three-point shots. They lose games. How about you get it into your big man and let him kiss it off the glass and get two easy points every time down the floor and win games?
Last caller of this segment, Andrew in Blue Springs. Go ahead.
Hey, I was just going to go out with that Tim Duncan. They called him Mr. Fundamental.
Right, the big fundamental was his name, yes.
How fun is that? Like, that is amazing.
Well, there is fun in fundamental, my friend, you know.
Well, hey, I didn't mean to bother him, but they were boring, man. They had Bruce Bowen, all he did was play defense. But Tony Parker had the teardrop. Like, they had role players.
No
but
doubt.
Mr. Fundamental, that is not very fundamental.
Wow. Like, they weren't getting the ratings. Like I don't think TNT was clamoring to have them on like CBS wants the Chiefs.
Let me put it this way. I wouldn't be mad at my wife if she admitted she had an affair on me and his nickname was Mr. Fundamental.
Mr. Fundamental.
I'm like, oh, you didn't get to the climax, did you? That's all right. James, Bob, Dusty, we dive back into your boys in blue. They're going to be playing baseball in October on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Well, I'll tell you what, my friends over at Manning Roofing are unbelievable. And you're probably thinking to yourself, Bob, what makes this roofing company better than everybody else? Well, I'll tell you what it is. Number one, they're a true general contractor. And that means they can handle everything because, like, we had storm damage a couple of years ago, right? You think it's just your roof that needs to be repaired. But sometimes you get those big hailstorms and they break your windows. They ruin your gutters. They damage your siding and your roof. And sometimes if you don't go with Manning Roofing, you go with somebody else. You have to make multiple phone calls, get multiple people out there. Manning being a true general contractor handles everything. The roof, the siding, the windows, the gutters, all of that is handled by my friends over at Manning Roofing. And I know we were wowed and overly impressed with the work that they did on our house. We called them, and the day after the storm, they came out and they were there. They gave us the storm damage assessment and told us everything that was wrong and how they could fix it right away. Plus, they keep a project manager on site the entire time, so you know exactly what's going on in that process. Because if you're like me, you want to know where we are, when we finish, and what's going on. You got all these questions. Their project manager can handle all of that. And Manning has done thousands of jobs in Kansas City and never once has been rejected by an insurance claim. So set up your free appointment at manninggc.com. That's manninggc.com. Or give them a call, 816-448-8208. Manning is my one-stop shop for roofs, gutters, siding, and windows. The choice is simple. It's Manning Roofing.
Welcome back in. There it is. There's our BC boys.
I like it. The Beastie Boys.
You got to let the people know the identification of your station.
Do you? Are we going to get fined? Has anybody ever been fined for not getting the legal ID at the top of the hour?
I'm sure it's illegal not to do the legal ID.
I don't know.
People keep saying, fight that bum. No.
He didn't call in, though. So, you know, like.
And we're done with it. It's over.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, if you're gonna use your words, use them out of your mouth. Don't sit there behind your keyboard while your shirt is too short and you're sitting in mom's basement demanding meatloaf.
Somebody said, Dusty, if you don't change your ex handle to Nancy Likens, I'll be so disappointed.
Yeah, you got to go to Nancy. Yeah.
Yeah, that was my aunt. I don't think her name was Nancy.
Oh.
I think it was Terry.
You think?
T-E-R-R-I.
T-E-R-R-I. I like it.
We called her Aunt T-T. So I want to dive back into this Royals team because this series, I mean, they really know how to get to your emotions. I will say that. It's been a